On any given night, there are more than 500,000 homeless Americans in this country. But in Washington state, there's a glaring disparity among who exactly is in the homeless population. And it has to do with race.
When you step into a homeless shelter or an encampment in Washington, it's striking that the demographics of the homeless population do not match the demographics of the state as a whole. Washington does not have a very large African American population compared to most states. But when you walk into a shelter, you see a lot more African American people than you see out in the wider community often.
That's Will James. He's a reporter for KNKX Public Radio in Seattle. And he recently reported on a study released earlier this year that examined the larger questions driving this racial disparity. And the answer isn't simple.
African Americans nationally are 12% of the U.S. population, about a quarter of the population living in poverty. And if you believed that poverty was the main driver of homelessness, you'd expect African Americans to also make up more or less a quarter of the homeless population. But it turns out African Americans are more like 40% of the homeless population. So there's this wild disparity here, and it's not simple enough to say that higher poverty rates among African Americans are the reason for it.
So let's talk about some of the why behind this, because if it's not poverty, and we know that Black Americans are much more likely to live, and Latino Americans are much more likely to live in poverty than white Americans are, then what is it?
Systemic racism is at play here. That is the big force in the background here. But what this research into homelessness does is give us a bit more of a picture of what that force actually means in the lives of individual people today. The research that I reported on was by this group in Boston called the Center for Social Innovation. After more than a year of research, the answer they came up with was something called network impoverishment. And it's this idea that if you're poor and African American, it's not only that you're poor, but you're more likely to exist in a community and a family where everyone you know is poor too. And that kind of removes any kind of community buffer or safety net you might have that prevent you from falling into homelessness. In other words, if you're white, it's just more likely that if you have, for instance, an $800 car repair that's threatening your ability to get to work, it's more likely you know at least one person in your network who can kind of bail you out of that emergency. Whereas if you're African American, it's more likely you don't know a single person who can come through with those emergency funds that could prevent you from spiraling into a bigger crisis.
And I think that's fascinating because it really does connect this idea not just of income, right, but of wealth, the lack of wealth in Black and brown communities to an extent. You spoke to a man named Marquise McCrary. Let's listen to what he had to say about his experience being homeless.
It can feel like a curse sometimes. Sometimes I feel like you're the person who's meant to deal with it all. You know, it's just weird, but you can see it. You just have to always be able to process it a day at a time. You have to observe what makes you homeless and what doesn't. What makes you, you know, fall into the traps again and what doesn't. And it's like, is it family? Is it you? Is it just the things you don't know? Because most of the time, it could, you know, a lot of self-guilt is in it too. Like, I'm not doing good enough.
Can you tell us a little bit about his story and how he ended up homeless?
Sure. He's a guy in his mid-20s now, living in Tacoma, Washington. You know, what's interesting about his story is I interviewed a lot of people experiencing homelessness for this story. And when they talk about their stories, they don't talk about the big systemic forces at play in their lives because, of course, they don't. That's not how we see our lives. We see our lives as these, you know, chain of individual events. So people tend to talk about the mistakes they made and the bad luck they've had. And with Marquise, it was like he was trying to grapple with why all of these bad things seemed to be happening to him. Why his mom was evicted, why his brother had to move, why there seemed to be no one in his family that had the resources to help him out, to put him in a home somewhere. But the story he told was ultimately one of network impoverishment. He tells the story of his family where everyone seems to be teetering on the brink of a financial crisis. And so no one has the wherewithal, no one has the financial resources to help anyone else avoid that same crisis.
I think that has more effect on homelessness than, you know, resources.
What does?
Having a family that with that kind of mindset, you know, but they can't do that if they can't take care of themselves. And that's the part that you got to accept, too. It's like some families just can't do it. They're hurting, you know?
That's a very real statement. I think a lot of people don't quite understand that. Do you find that in your reporting, that there are people that kind of assume, well, sure, if you run into some issue, somebody will be able to help you out?
There's a sense among the public, I think, that, like, why don't these people just go home? Why don't they ask their aunt or their uncle or their mom or their dad for help? When you actually take time to talk to people about why they became homeless, like the researchers in this project did, you find that most people, if they had a choice, would go home. They would ask a family member for help. At one point, Marquise told me, you know, if my mom had the resources to get me out of this mess, I don't care how much I'd have to beg. I would do it. I would ask her for help.
Now, is there anything that the state of Washington, the city of Seattle is trying to do that will take all these issues into account to try and mitigate some of this?
The people in the homelessness field that I spoke to spoke about how this research gave them kind of a foundation to think more explicitly about race when they deal with homelessness, to consider whether the programs they craft are unconsciously biased in some way, and whether people in different racial groups have different needs when it comes to preventing homelessness or escaping homelessness. And yet, in this country, when we try to help people who are homeless, we often give them everything except money. Government agencies and nonprofits give housing, medical supplies, medical care, food, clothes. But if an $800 car repair 4 years ago is what caused you to lose your job and then lose your apartment and is the reason you've been homeless for the past 4 years, imagine if someone had just given you that $800. What other costs, both to your life and to government systems, would that have prevented? And that's a really interesting question.
Will James is a reporter for KNKX Public Radio in Seattle. Will, thanks so much for your insights.
Thank you, Tanzina.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.